Australia has new laws allowing the government to ban foreign fighters from returning to our shores for up to 2 years, which one expert says will mostly apply to women and children. Dr. Michelle Grossman works with the Australian Federal Police, the Victorian Police, and with community organisations on terrorism and countering violent extremism. The Foreign Fighters Bill, which passed the Senate late this week, allows the Home Affairs Minister Peter Dutton to ban Australian citizens from coming home for up to 2 years if they're considered a security risk. Dr. Grossman says forcing people to stay in places like refugee camps risks a hardening of attitudes towards Australia and greater radicalisation. I spoke to her a short time ago and started by asking her who exactly these laws will apply to.
The law will apply to anybody who is currently overseas in a declared area. And so that would involve, I think, the majority of people that this could potentially affect would actually be children and women who are still in Syria in one of several camps where they're being held after the fall of Islamic State's so-called caliphate, and also a slightly smaller number of male foreign fighters who travelled overseas to participate in foreign conflict.
Now, why are we excluding children from returning to Australia? Are they a security risk, in your opinion?
It's not clear to me what the temporary exclusion order is actually going to achieve. The Australian government is on record as having said that they are open to the idea of repatriating children in particular. Children, by definition, can't be held responsible for the actions of their parents or family members who may have taken them to foreign incursion zones. In addition, we may be talking about children who are entitled to Australian citizenship, but who have actually been born in those foreign conflict areas. So I think that temporarily excluding children, it's very hard for me to see what could be gained by that. The security assessment process has to be on a case-by-case basis. And remember that when we're talking about children, we're talking about people between the ages of 0 and 16, right? So it's a pretty broad range. Are children who are 1 or 2 years old likely to be a security risk? Well, I think any logical or reasonable person would have to say no. Are children who have been exposed to chronic scenes or experiences of brutality and violence, who may have been indoctrinated, who may have been compelled to participate in various violent acts, are they a security risk? And this is why it is so important that there be case-by-case assessments that establish, first of all, the prospects for reintegration of people back into communities to help them make a break with those experiences and with those ideologies and return to a pro-social, healthy life in Australia, balancing all that against the extent to which they do represent a security risk, and then how to handle that security risk.
So will these laws help keep Australia safe as they stand?
Look, I think it's a very good question, but I also think it's an open question. To some extent, you might think that what the temporary exclusion laws do, and I'm only speculating here, when you think about what it takes to build a prosecution case, for example, it might buy a little bit more time to do some of the investigating. So it's very difficult to try to get on-the-ground information about what people have been involved with. Syria is not an easy place to navigate at the current time. I would think that one of the things that the temporary exclusion orders make possible is buying some time for further information gathering and for further investigation in particular cases about what people are alleged to have done. The offside of that, and this is where I think that temporary exclusion orders actually compromise potentially Australian safety rather than enhancing, is that the longer you leave people in places like Al Hol or a number of other camps where children and women in particular are being held, I think the more likely it will become that they may be very difficult then to reach in terms of their reintegration prospects. So you're asking people to live in a state of continued uncertainty in what by any stretch of the imagination are extraordinarily challenging and difficult circumstances. So I think there actually is potentially the risk for compromising Australian safety by not moving more swiftly on the repatriation and reintegration front, particularly where children are concerned.
What of those who are foreign fighters, not children per se, although there may be some overlap, but if they're not already in a refugee camp, if they're at a loose end following the collapse of Islamic State, where will these people go instead if we don't allow them back into Australia, and what will they do?
They are likely to disperse into a variety of third countries, so neither Australia nor Syria. They're likely to disperse into a number of third-party countries operating very likely within the same networks that they were connected to in relation to Islamic State. So I think the idea of having people at a loose end, able to move with relative ease or relative freedom into third-party countries, that is also another kind of risk. And I think it puts Australia then, and any other country who were to adopt that attitude, into a very difficult position. And the argument has been made before that by refusing to repatriate and prosecute where people can be demonstrated to have broken the law, we're effectively making them somebody else's problem. I would say that often when you make something somebody else's problem, those problems come home to roost in the end.
That's Dr. Michelle Grossman, the Research Chair in Diversity and Community Resilience at Deakin University.